You are listening to the audio production of What a Wave Must Be by Angela Hunt, published by Focus on the Family in alliance with Tyndale House Publishers. This book is read by Jennifer Jill Araya. The Bustle in a House. The bustle in a house, the morning after death, is solemnest of industries enacted upon earth. The sweeping up the heart and putting love away, we shall not want to use again until eternity. Emily Dickinson, 1866. Chapter 1. Susan. I never imagined that Frank and I would live anything but a charmed life. But when I tripped over a dog toy and broke my right arm on an ordinary November day, I began to wonder if God was trying to tell me something. I listened and looked for writing on the wall, but if God was speaking, I couldn't hear him. 3 weeks later, Frank and I were upstairs cleaning our guest apartment. With one hand, I pulled the wrinkled sheet from the laundry basket and struggled to toss it to my patient husband. "I never thought having my arm in a sling would make me feel so helpless," I said. Frank grabbed the sheet and fitted the corners to his side of the mattress.
"You need help over there?"
"I've got it." I used my left hand to ease the seams over the corners of the king-size bed. "Thanks. I know you'd rather be teaching than helping me with this stuff."
"The school has other substitutes,"
he said, taking the top sheet from the laundry basket.
"I'm certainly not irreplaceable."
"To me, you are." I caught the edge of the sheet Frank had flung toward me. "A man is never more attractive than when he's helping his wife with the housework." He grinned as he tucked the edge of the sheet under the mattress.
"My mother said I should beware of women who tried to sweet-talk me. Next thing I know, you'll have me doing the grocery shopping."
I laughed, realizing that he'd done more than help me make beds. He had also lifted my spirits, which had lately taken a downturn. "Don't worry, I can fill a cart with one hand." I finished smoothing my side of the bed and walked around to do his. "And I know better than to send you to the grocery. You'd come back with nothing but snacks and cookies."
"Susan,"
Frank pointed at my hip.
"Your shorts are buzzing."
"What? Oh, my phone." I glanced at the caller ID. "It's Rachel. Wonder what she wants."
"The best way to find out,"
Frank sat on the bed,
"is to answer."
I pressed the speakerphone. "Rachel?" "Susan." Our daughter-in-law's voice sounded tight, so something had to be wrong. She rarely called us except when she wanted to suggest gifts for Maddie's birthday or Christmas. "Is everything all right, hon?" "I don't know." I frowned. "Is everything okay with Maddie?" "Sure, she's at school. But I was wondering, have you heard from Daniel? I was wondering if he hopped on a plane to visit you." I shot Frank a look of alarm. Daniel and Rachel lived in Atlanta, only an hour's flight from our home in Florida, but Daniel had never hopped on a plane to visit us. "Rachel," I sank to the bed, "are you two having problems?" "It's not like Daniel to ignore my calls. It's probably nothing, but last night he seemed preoccupied. He barely spoke at dinner, and he didn't even tease Maddie about the Falcons losing to the Buccaneers."
"Maybe he's dealing with a problem at work."
Our son was a top sales rep for a pharmaceutical firm. Rachel sighed. "Maybe you're right. Let me know if you hear from him, okay? Give Frank my love. I'll talk to you later." As I put the phone down, Frank crossed his arms and nodded.
"Male menopause. How old is he? 40?
42. And male menopause is a myth. You didn't go through it." His mouth dropped.
"I almost spent our savings on a boat."
"Yes, but you didn't."
"That was male menopause. I thought a boat might fill some void."
I winced. "Do you still feel that way?" A smile crossed his face.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?